With LinkedIn Jobs, we tap into a network of more than a billion professionals to help you find quality professionals quickly and easily for any role you need.
Marketing wizards?
Found them.
Software engineers?
Found.
That project manager I could never seem to hire?
And found. LinkedIn Jobs quickly matches your roles with candidates with the right skills and experience. In fact, 86% of small businesses get a qualified candidate within 24 hours. Post your first job for free and get started at linkedin.com/decide. That's linkedin.com/decide. Terms and conditions apply.
I'm Kim Grinnells of Dogman.com with Chris Fetter, Scott Eklund, and time for a podcast and just to update you guys on a little bit what's going on out there. Michigan game canceled, a couple new crystal balls for Washington recruits, and weather kind of sucks in Seattle, but hopefully it's going to get better here soon. But big news yesterday was that the Michigan game is canceled. Looks like the Big Ten has ordered that all of their out-of-conference games be canceled. So lots of interesting stuff. But any surprise that Michigan game got canceled, Chris?
For me personally, no. Obviously, it's going to have ripple effects. I mean, the traditional connection between the Big Ten and the Pac-12 is obvious with the Rose Bowl and everything else. And then natural rivalries that have started to come out of it with Washington and Michigan, for instance. And so it's just something that's unfortunate, but, you have to think the Pac-12 is going to have to follow suit at some point. I mean, there's so many ramifications. I mean, I just took a look right before the podcast just to see how the non-conference broke down for the Pac-12, like who was playing who. You know, there's nine Mountain West teams that are going to be impacted if the Pac-12 decides to kill its non-conference schedule. Half a dozen Big Sky teams are going to get affected. This is going to crush all the conferences below the Power Five. Absolutely crush them. You think of the MAC teams that have the normal regional rivalry games with the Big 12 guys. You know, think of Ohio or Toledo or, you know, the directional Illinois teams or, you know, just some of the Michigan teams. It's going to crush them, and it's really unfortunate, but you have to think they're going to try to keep it geographical. I know a lot of people read John Wilner, for instance, and, you know, he talked about keeping it in the family for the Pac-12 and in terms of tightening things up. And part of that is killing the non-conference schedule, but there's going to be so many teams below them, non-Power Five teams, that are going to get absolutely decimated because of this.
Well, not only decimated because of the schedule, but a lot of those, Mountain West teams in those, they depend on the games against the Power Five schools as it's a big payday for them. It keeps their program afloat. And then, Scott, you take a look at what's a team like Notre Dame going to do, Scott? I mean, they don't have a conference.
Well, the ACC has already said that they're going to try and work with them on getting them scheduled because they've been doing, what is it? Is this year three of their agreement that they had with Notre Dame to schedule games with them? So I would expect Notre Dame is going to get taken care of one way or the other and figure that out. So as far as, you know, asking if it's a surprise, I'm not surprised it happened, and especially the way things have been kind of trending over the last couple weeks and all that stuff. I just you could kind of see this kind of coming. I'm sure hopeful that we can have football this fall. I'm dubious on there being a spring football season because that it might not give the players enough time off between seasons. I know they don't want to push back next year, so. We'll just have to see where it goes. It, right now, nobody really knows anything. All we know right now is that the Michigan game is canceled. That's it. Everything else is still on as of today, but that could all change here in the next 10 minutes.
Yeah, I just think it's one of those things, you know, it's a rabbit hole to go down to, and there's many different variables. You know, I just can't wrap my head around all of it. So it's just one of those things where, you know, the thing that some people don't do very well, it's just a waiting game right now to see how things go. Big UFC fight this weekend on Fight Island. See how that goes. Mariners today are playing a inter-squad game. It's being broadcast live, by the way. But I think we're going to have to see how baseball goes, how, you know, football training camps. But I just don't see anything where this is going to happen, where we see football in September. But again, you know, just 2 weeks from now, things could look dramatically different. And a month from now, things can look dramatically different. And, you know, we've all got our opinions, but right now it's just a guessing game at best.
Guys, what I would like to add to that is there was already a previously scheduled meeting, if I remember correctly, today, Friday, with the Pac-12 presidents and chancellors. And with this news coming out of the Big Ten yesterday, I have to think this has jumped the agenda and probably ended up first or second in their list of to-do things. So I wouldn't be surprised if we hear something. I wouldn't think anything comes out of it necessarily today, but, you know, Monday, Tuesday of next week, would I be shocked if we hear something like the Pac-12 has followed suit? I wouldn't be surprised at all, or maybe sometime next week.
Yeah, or just it, what's really weird is because Washington has their first three games as non-conference games, but that's not the way everybody works. Some of these teams have non-conference games later in the season. So take the schedule, tear it up, throw it up in the air, you know, and I think, you know, the schedule is going to have to be a complete redo. So we'll see what happens, you know, shortened season, you know, season delayed. No, not, I mean, there's just so many different variables that need to be worked out. And until we get a handle on what's really going on out there, it's just tough to really know. Like I said, it's just, you know, throwing darts at a wall right now and seeing where it lands. But
the silver lining is that if, you know, if they decide to cancel the non-conference, if they decide to follow the Big Ten's lead on this, that means you could almost extend the period of getting everything up to scratch and figuring out the logistics, like you said, kind of having to rewrite the entire schedule, game plan, and blueprint. You know, you have almost October, basically. I mean, you could you could really bypass almost all of September, maybe the last week of September, to kind of get all that stuff started. So there is time to get it done if they can figure it out and get all on the same page.
Maybe like an 8-game schedule, you know, with 4 home, 4 away for everybody to have things be fair. You know, that seems like it might be real workable, you know. So draw the games out of the hat. I don't know how logistic wise with stadiums. Chris, you might know the answer to this. Or Scott, do any of the Pac-12 football teams share venues with pro teams where that might be an issue in rescheduling games?
Well, USC did, but they the Rams move into their new stadium this fall, right?
Right. Yeah. Does anybody? Doesn't. Stanford doesn't.
No. Everybody else, I think, is
Arizona State, yeah. Colorado. Yeah. Everybody else.
But I think one thing you could see, guys, is that it wouldn't necessarily be a stadium issue, but like John Wilner again pointed out, you might have designated hotels in each city, for instance, that become the hotel for the visiting team to go to instead of having them pick the one that they want, whether it's close or whether it has their amenities or what have you. Just have the one there where they can really kind of lock things down and keep things insulated. Because I go back to that conversation that Kim Harmon had with Softy and Dick Fain on KJR, when she was saying once they get the players in the facility, like at UW, for instance, they're safe, they're healthy. They can, if there's a problem, they have protocols to be able to do all this stuff. If they can create a minimum amount of variables, like having the same hotel, having the same situation for every team that they know they can, you know, rely on, the same kind of blueprint and the same kind of arrangements for everybody, I think that really could help, you know, streamline a lot of this stuff. Because I think once they get everybody tested, they get everybody healthy, and they know they've got a situation where everybody in that bubble, so to speak, is COVID free, for instance, and I'm talking about everybody, I'm talking about trainers, staff, everybody, then they can almost kind of move in a bubble and do these different things. Like I wrote about it this morning. I mean, it's an out of the box thought, but if logistics and travel is one of the big variables on this thing, why not drive? I mean, make it simple. I mean, that's what the equipment guys do every week.
Well, they don't even need to use hotels. They can use the dorms. I mean, it doesn't sound like they're going to be at capacity, you know, student-wise, you know, that they could do something like that. But
this is,
like
these you said, are you know, big out-of-the-box thinking. I mean, they're going to have to be creative with this stuff for sure.
Hey, Scott, jumping into recruiting, it's kind of a different year because the only way for evaluations really is off of junior films. Not many camps, not any chances to see guys up close and personally, but it's just kind of a strange year, especially when it comes to evaluations, not only for the recruiting analysts, but coaches as well. What are you hearing out there about different ways that schools are evaluating prospects right now?
Well, I think some, you know, the most inventive way that I've seen is schools are basically sending a workout that they want a kid to run through in order to evaluate them and see them and what drills they want them to run through. And these guys are going out with their trainers, friends, coaches, anybody who can film them, and they're running them through their paces. And that's one of the ways that COC Finau got his offer from the University of Washington was they wanted to see him in a workout, and they went out and did that. I know that RWQB with Jake Heaps leading the workouts, and Rylan Spencer, our friend from Cascadia Preps, is out there as well. They're doing a lot of work with some of these. They're not high end quarterbacks right now or anything like that. They're more of the lower end guys, but they're still putting together these workout and throwing videos for these schools who have requested it, and they get the workout that the coaches want these kids to run through. They run them through it, they take a video of it, and they send it to the coaches. So that's kind of the way the coaches are really doing it, because you're not going to see them in games. You're not going to see them in other than what they have on film from their sophomore or junior year that you're trying to evaluate. So this is really, really tough. And when you're looking at a huddle video, when you know, we post them, we link them, we embed them in the stories that we do, and we show them on our message boards. Those are just highlight videos. Those aren't the raw game videos that these coaches do have access to on huddle, because these teams will go and upload games so the coaches can just go through and watch either all the defensive plays or all the offensive plays and see different players and doing what they do. So, you know, we don't get people like Brandon Huffman, Greg Biggins, unless they have a connection with somebody, don't really get that video. They're going to have to go off of highlights. It's going to be really, really hard to be really, really accurate with a lot of these guys.
And Chris, as long as we've been doing this, we know that, you know, a team's board, whether it's the Seahawks, the Huskies, USC, their boards will all look different, where they're looking for specific body types. They're looking specific character wise. They're looking at fit, but a board can look dramatically different as opposed to the ratings because of fit, and just what they're looking for specific guys. But, you know, it's just a difficult year to do evaluations when it comes ranking wise. They're doing the best they can, but boy, everything's done off of junior film.
It is, but it's a situation where, let's say, a guy like Finau ends up at Washington State and then absolutely blows up. Every Washington fan on Dogman or everywhere else is going to be like, where were the coaches on this? This guy was literally in Renton and they weren't on top of him. So it you know, you think of guys like Christo Bruce, or you think of guys like Didi Enchilanu, or other local guys, Ryan Long from Anacortes. You know, there's so many other guys that have gone on to do big things that weren't necessarily on the recruiting radar, but I guarantee you they were on Washington's radar, and for whatever reason, they decided to go a different direction. But for sure, I mean, when it comes to fit, when it comes to all the intangibles, to the tough questions that you have to ask, and those are tough questions that have been asked ever since Don James got to Montlake, you know, and is followed through all the way through to Peterson and now Jimmy Lake. You know, these are all things that are part of their evaluation that we don't necessarily get to see. And the answers that those guys get may be slightly different than the answers that a player or a high school coach might tell an evaluator from Scout or Rivals or 24/7 or ESPN or whatever outside recruiting service you're talking about.
Selling a little or a lot? Shopify helps you do your thing, however you cha-ching. Shopify is the global commerce platform that helps you sell at every stage of your business. From the launch your online shop stage, to the first real-life store stage, all the way to the did we just hit a million orders stage, Shopify is here to help you grow. Whether you're selling scented soap or offering outdoor outfits, Shopify helps you sell everywhere. From their all-in-one e-commerce platform to their in-person POS system, wherever and whatever you're selling, Shopify's got you covered. Shopify helps you turn browsers into buyers with the internet's best converting checkout. 15% better on average compared to other leading commerce platforms. And sell more with less effort thanks to Shopify Magic, your AI-powered all-star. Shopify powers 10% of all e-commerce in the U.S. And Shopify is the global force behind Allbirds, Rothy's, and Brooklinen, and millions of other entrepreneurs of every size across 175 countries. Plus, Shopify's award-winning 24/7 help is there to support your success every step of the way. Because businesses that grow, grow with Shopify. Sign up for a $1 per month trial period at shopify.com/odysseypodcast, all lowercase. Go to shopify.com/odysseypodcast now to grow your business, no matter what stage you're in. Shopify.com/odysseypodcast.
Chris, talk a little bit about, you know, just what, you know, how important it is, because I talk about body profiling where, you know, with Jimmy Lake, he likes those longer corners. But a guy like Fanal, when you're taking a look at him, does he have the height? Check. Does he have the body that's going to be able to add weight? Check. Does he have the work ethic? Does he have the experience? And, you know, a lot of the time you're looking at a piece of clay that you can come in and mold that maybe hasn't played a lot of football like a guy like Fanal, but he has all of the other things that you're looking for, except he hasn't played a lot of football. To you, is that a little bit more intriguing and taking the same guy at the same place skill-wise that's been playing for maybe 5 or 6 years?
I don't know, because I think as a coach, you probably look at it from a different mindset. As a coach, you're looking at him as a perfect piece of clay that you can mold into the kind of player that you want to. They don't come with bad habits. They're guys that you can, you know, literally turn into whatever player you want them to be. So I think there's positives and negatives to both of those things. But the interesting thing about Fanal specifically is that I was watching his highlight tape, the one on Huddle, first thinking that he was 235 pounds. Then we heard he was 275 pounds. So I looked at it again. And now I have it on really good authority that he's much closer to 300 pounds. And I'm thinking, what was his playing weight when he was actually making these plays? Because you look at him and you look at, you know, you look at Maurice Himes, for instance. And you see, and yes, he's playing against JV players, but that doesn't mean he runs any slower, right? I mean, it that doesn't necessarily
the athleticism negate. Flashes.
Yeah,
the
it doesn't negate flashes. His athleticism. And so when you're watching a guy like Fanal and you're watching his tape, is he doing that at 235? Is he doing that at 275? I mean, it's so hard to know because, first of all, he's carrying his weight really, really well, whatever weight he was at. I would venture to say he was probably in the mid-250s, if I really had to guess, based on just what I've seen over the years. But again, if he was at 250 like in November, you know, October, November, and now he's 300, and like I said, the people that I were talking to, they're like, we've got the scale screenshots to prove it. I'm like, fair enough. It's going to be really, really interesting to see how he maintains his athleticism, how he maintains his speed, and all of those things at 300 pounds. But from all indications, at least off the field, from what we've heard in the weight training and the other processes that you go through in the off season, he's just an animal. And if you're a Washington fan, how could you not get excited about that?
And Scott, one of the things that impressed me with this film, and I was told by, you know, people close to the situation, is what the Washington coaches really liked is he's a big guy, but he chased the ball really, really well. And when you get into high school, especially at those lower levels, and you get the big guys, when the play's going the other way, you tend to not chase the ball down. But this kid just seemed to chase the ball down from either side of the field.
Yeah, it's a motor, and you can't teach motor on kids. They either have it or they don't. And he chased down, and I think that was one of the big things that stuck out to him, like you said.
Owen Prentice, Greg Biggins put in a crystal ball prediction with him going to Washington with a high high indication of an 8, you know, with the confidence level of 8. Any story behind that at all?
I think the story is that things are trending Washington's way with him. And, you know, Brandon Huffman and I put in picks to the University of Washington for crystal balls back last summer during camp, at which he was not able to even participate because he had strained, I think it was like a quad, he strained a quad or a shoulder or something. I can't remember what it was. He wasn't really injured, but they didn't want him to, you know, re-injure something, right, you know, not very far before the start of the season. So he just sat out, but he did come to Washington's camp, and they ended up offering there. And Brandon and I both had gotten pretty good information that if Washington offered, they were probably going to be the odds-on favorite to get him. And that was where he wanted to be. That was where his mom wanted him to be, all this different stuff. Well, then you look at his family history, the fact that his brothers and sisters, his siblings basically have all gone to Ivy League schools. His family has prioritized education over pretty much everything else, even sports to a certain extent. And his family, you know, without getting too deep into it, they are not struggling for money. And so he is a kid who could afford to go to an Ivy League school without being too much of a dent in their in his parents' wallet. So all that being said, Huffman and I put in big crystal balls for him back in last summer. And then all of a sudden, Brandon goes foggy on it when you could still go foggy on kids. I left mine where it was. So I actually have the longest prediction of Owen Prentice at going to the University of Washington. But things have been trending Washington's way. Stanford did give him the acceptance last week, and that made a big impression on him. But I just think once that all wears off, he knows where he'd like to be. His best friend is already on the team, well, already committed to Washington, and Caden Jumper. Everything just maps out perfectly for him to go to the University of Washington. He could be a center. He could be a guard for Washington. He really has a great relationship with Scott Huff. I think he really likes Jimmy Lake and believes in the program that he's going to, just continue and maybe even take to a different level once now that he's the head coach. So everything just points to him choosing Washington at some point. I think it's going to be sooner rather than later, but we'll just have to wait and see.
He's got a lot of people just look at the star rankings. They look at the composite ranking. They look at how it's going to fit in the class, but they don't know much about the player himself. You know, and I've asked you this several times. He's an O'Day kid, you know, mm-hmm. and he's got brothers and sisters at Ivy League schools. Is he soft? How good is he? I mean, what makes him special? What makes him good?
Definitely not soft. Technically, he's very technically sound. He grinds on guys. He's 6'3". We've got him listed at 295. He might have put on a little bit of weight, and because Brandon Huffman's usually pretty good about updating those. So let's just say he's 295 pounds, 6'3", 295, grinds on guys, is physical. He plays both ways for O'Day. He's got great feet. He's a leader. He's going to be a leader in the locker room as well as out on the field. He'll be that guy who can make the calls if someone's struggling to make calls and things like that. He can do it all. And the fact is he plays guard for his team, but he can also play left tackle. He can play right tackle. He's not big enough, long enough to play tackle in college, but he has that kind of athleticism and ability.
Also a new offer out to another one of his teammates. His name's escaping me.
Mark Nabu.
Yep.
Okay. He's a 2022 kid though. So, he's 6'4", 290 pounds, 285 pounds, and big kid, played right tackle for them last season, but can move inside and play guard. And I think that's where he's probably best projected. Washington made an offer toward the end of last month. It was like last week of June, they made an offer to him, and they're one of three schools to offer him: Washington State, Nevada. I don't have it in front of me. It might be Arizona State. I think it's Arizona State, Nevada, and Washington have offered, but he's got a slew of other schools that are looking at him. And he's part of that big class from the 2022 class that's coming up. They're only going to be juniors this year. They might not even get a junior season. So Washington's already made offers out to five guys from the state along the offensive line: Dave Iuli from Puyallup, Josh Connerly, arguably the number one player in the state for 2022. He's out of Rainier Beach. He's an offensive tackle. Then you've got Malik Agbo, who's another tackle guard swing guy from Todd Beamer down there in Federal Way. And I'm drawing a blank on the other one. Vega Ihwane from Graham Kapowsin. He's 6'4", 290 pounds. Big kid, very good feet, very raw. So that's what Washington has already offered. And I did a story on it yesterday. You guys want to go take a look. I don't know if Washington's going to take all five, because I don't know if they're going to take five spots, but they might not have to leave the state of Washington to get their offensive line class next year.
Hey, Chris, getting back to O'Day High School. How long has Monty Kohler been the head coach at O'Day?
Long, long time.
Roughly 30 years, I think.
I was going to say, as long as I've been up there. I mean, I used to go up there when I was actually doing more of the regional recruiting stuff for Scout initially, you know, 20 years ago or 15 years ago. I would go up every spring, and Coach Kohler was gracious enough to basically open up the courtyard in the middle of O'Day and just have guys come in one at a time. And I would just ask them a couple quick questions. And basically it was mostly just to get, heights, weights, contact information, current recruiting information, you know, what their thoughts were, so we could do stories. So, you know, he's never been a big fan of the recruiting process. I don't think he really likes to inject himself into it. He's been a lot more hands off in that regard, compared to the more modern approaches. When you look at, you know, guys like Dave Miller and Sheldon Cross and some of these other guys that get it more, a little bit more involved in it and are a little bit more hands on, he's definitely been a lot more old school about it. But at the same time, he certainly wasn't averse to making sure that people understood O'Day's got players, and they've always had players.
Who's your favorite O'Day player, Chris?
In terms of who I've talked to over the years, God, that's a tough one.
Come on. Come on. Although,
you know, I really like, to be honest with you, I go back way back. I really liked Grant Enger, the kid who ended up at Oregon State. Yeah. I really liked talking to Grant when he was going through his process quite a bit. Really enjoyed even talking to guys like Quentin Richardson back in the day. I think I remember even, did he announce on campus? I think he had an announcement.
He was at a camp. I'm pretty sure.
I thought, well, okay, maybe it was a jersey ceremony or something for a game. I can't remember. But, I'm just trying to go off the top of my head who I've really liked in the past.
Was he at O'Day?
Paul was at Kennedy.
He started at O'Day.
But he didn't finish there.
He averaged 17 yards a carry as a sophomore.
If I can interject, my favorite guy was Ty Erickson. The biggest reason was because I remember talking to him about it, because he committed. Washington was his first official visit, and he committed, right?
Yeah.
And then he told me he had visits to Miami, Texas, Ohio State, and Michigan all set up. And I'm like, you blew it, dude. You absolutely blew it. You should have taken those visits first and then committed to Washington. And he was like, I know.
It's interesting that you bring up Ty Erickson too, right now, especially when talking about Owen Prentice and the academics with Stanford and everything else. Ty Erickson, to be honest with you, he really broke the mold of the modern, you know, Northwest kid or Washington in-state kid who actually got accepted to Stanford and didn't take the offer. Almost always up to that point, if you were an in-state kid and you got a Stanford, you were accepted into Stanford, you pretty much took it. I think he was one of the first ones that really broke it. I know that Jeff Lindquist was one of those guys as well. And now you've seen, you know, definitely other guys, whether it's been like a Trent McDuffie or Elijah Molden or some of these other. Now you're starting to see more and more of these guys start to do that. I'm not obviously Molden and McDuffie aren't in-state kids, but like Molden, for instance, a Northwest kid. But now you're starting to see more and more. But before Ty Erickson, it very, very rarely happened.
Picture that super soft t-shirt you love sleeping in. The one that gets softer and softer the more you wear it. Now you can bring that same lived-in softness to your entire bed with Signature Vintage Wash Sheets from Boll & Branch. This all-new collection is even softer than your favorite t-shirt, with a distinctly relaxed look and feel for your best night's sleep. Just like all Boll & Branch bedding, Signature Vintage Wash Sheets start with the highest quality, 100% organic cotton. The lived-in feel comes from a small batch washing process, creating a level of softness you've never felt before. And it's not just the feel. Boll & Branch mastered the laid-back aesthetic using a special technique that creates the well-loved look you'll find with vintage jeans. And true to the Boll & Branch hallmark, signature vintage wash sheets get softer and softer with every wash. Right now, you can get 15% off your first order with promo code ODYSSEY and save on their most relaxing sheets. So head to BollAndBranch.com today. That's B-O-L-L and Branch.com.
Hey, Scott, the latest crystal ball is one of the latest offers to go out as well. Defensive back out of Freedom High School in Oakley, California, Vincent Nunley. Sounds like he may be a safety. What do you know about Vincent Nunley?
I honestly don't know that much other than what I've just been able to read pretty much everybody else. I've talked to a few guys about him and what you know, a lot of schools like about him. They like the fact that he's 6'1", 185 pounds. He can cover. He can hit. He's aggressive. But, I mean, I honestly haven't talked to the kid yet. I've been kind of working on trying to get a hold of him. But, you know, these kids, man, it's so much easier to talk to them at camps and things like that. And since we didn't get to do that, it's a little harder to get a hold of some of these guys that you haven't seen in person yet.
Yeah, for now, just ask. He doesn't answer his phone, by the way. I'm going to downgrade him for that. He just doesn't answer. He doesn't return text. He doesn't answer his phone. Yeah, he's impossible.
You guys want a trivia question?
Here we go.
Who was the last Washington commit from Freedom High School?
Oh, that was Daryl Daniels, right?
Boom. There you go. Eklund for the win.
Yeah, that was, well, okay.
Daryl Daniels, the tight end or the linebacker?
The tight end.
Tight end.
There we go. There we go.
Washington was also recruited. Joe Mixon was also on that team as well. Washington had a really good shot with him, and they got Daryl, but they finished second or third to Joe Mixon.
Hey, Scott, anybody else, you know, expecting to pop in the next week or two?
Boy, I know there's a couple guys who seem like they're pretty close. I've been saying for a while, I think, everything I've heard is that Owen Prentice is pretty close to making a decision. I don't know if it's going to happen here in the next week. I could see it happening before the end of the month. And Scott Huff and Junior Adams and Ikaika Malloy, and I'm not counting Jimmy anymore because he's not a position coach. But when those three guys go out and target a kid, I feel pretty dang good that Washington's at the very least going to be in it until the very end. And with Scott Huff, everything I'm hearing is that Owen Prentice is very close to making his decision and committing to the University of Washington. I think Washington's got so much to offer him. Scott Huff is, you know, one of Washington's best recruiters, and he's dangerous. There's a lot of these coaches that do not like going up against him. You think Oregon wasn't pissed about going up against Scott Huff last year? taking Roger Rosengarten right from out of their hands. And I feel very confident Scott Huff's going to reel him in and probably be done along the offensive line. We'll just have to wait and see. But, I think Washington is in good shape for him, but I just don't know if it's going to be here in the next couple weeks or if he's going to wait a little bit while. Nunley could wind up making his decision because I don't know if he's a guy they would wait on like they will Owen Prentice.
All right. I'm going to put you on the hot seat, Scott. Just one question. All right. It's either yes or no. You ready?
Mm-hmm.
If you take a look at Oregon's commit list, is there a football player committed to Oregon that will wind up at Washington this year?
No. I'd like to give it more nuance than that because I think there's a really good chance. But if I'm betting my house right now, no, I don't think so. I think with no visits happening this year and Washington's going to have a real tough time getting guys up on campus as much as I think Troy Franklin's in play, and I think Maliki Mataveo, from what I've heard, has been calling the University of Washington about some things. So I would not be surprised if things heat up with those guys and something could happen. But I think it's just going to be real tough to steal guys away, especially, heck, what if there isn't even a season before signing day? You know, I think one of the big things predicating Washington being able to steal anyone is kids getting a look at their offense and what it's going to be like. What if you don't get to see their offense until next spring? What if you don't get to see it until next fall? I think it's going to be real tough for Washington if there isn't any kind of games played.
Winding it down, Chris Fetter's final thoughts.
Well, just piggybacking on what Scott was referencing in terms of Owen Prentice and probably taking just two offensive linemen in this class, when he lays out all the 2022 guys that are going to be available that have already offered in state, it seems pretty much like a slam dunk that they probably won't go for more than two guys in this class. And it's not because there aren't good guys in this class. It's just because 2022 is absolutely loaded in state, and it would be, I wouldn't say negligence, but it just seems like that would be the opportunity to really pounce and really go full in on a big offensive line class. But I would just say overall, this whole idea of getting guys from Oregon, it's going to be incredibly difficult, because the bottom line is that, you know, if you had an opportunity to get guys on campus, that would be one thing. And if they can do that, that would change the math on it altogether. But if there's no season, if there's no way that players and parents can get on campus unless they travel themselves, and even if they do that, the coaches can't really show them anything. They can't really recruit yet. I mean, they won't have that option until, I think, maybe at least the end of August, maybe September. It just, all those things are starting to kind of conspire against not just Washington potentially going in on recruits from other schools, but everybody maybe poaching from other programs. It feels like that was one of the reasons why so many players made so many early commitments, because it just felt like that yearly game of musical chairs just all of a sudden went from 35 to 78 speed, and it doesn't show there's no signs of slowing, it seems like. So that's going to add a whole new layer to all of this stuff if there's no season, because recruiting never stops. You guys know that. Doesn't matter. They will have a signing day somewhere, whether it's in mid-December or whether it's in February. There's going to be a signing day. And where those seats end up is going to be anybody's guess. But you just have to figure now, with no visits, no ability to get kids on campus right now, it really does feel like everyone's going to have to kind of stay pat with what they've got.
Scott Eklund, what do you got?
Boy, it's my kid's fifth birthday today. We're celebrating this weekend with him, so that's my big news.
What kind of cake?
Honestly, I don't know. He told his mom what he wanted. I don't know. So right. I think it's a chocolate cake, but I don't know. Anyway, as far as I think Washington's class is going to end up being right in that 15 to 20 range where I've said it's going to be for a while. I think they've got a great shot at reeling in the top two targets in the state of Washington, aside from Sam Heward, and that's JT Tuimoloau, Emeka Egbuka. I think Washington's trending for both of those guys right now. Trending, when I say that, they're just trending up. I don't know if they would be in the lead. From what I'm hearing, that they aren't in the lead for either one of them, but Washington's got a great shot. They're in great position to grab both of those guys. And, we talked about it real quick. We talked about it in my blog from last week. And Kim, you and I talked about it in our last podcast. But for those who didn't hear, the new plan, I think, for a lot of these kids is for the coaches to give them itineraries to have them and their families fly up and be around the area. And there's some thought, and I don't know if this is going to be the case or not, but let's say one of those guys we know is going to be Brock Bowers, the tight end from Napa, and one of Washington's top targets. He's a top 50, top 60 player in the country. And Washington could have Sam Heward meet him on campus and just show him around. Why couldn't that happen? That could happen because Sam Heward is not officially part of the University of Washington football program right now. He's just a recruit. And so I wouldn't be surprised if you see a lot more things like that start to come to fruition. Maybe get Maliki Mataveo to come up with and hang out with Sam Heward for a little while. Maybe Troy Franklin does that. So we'll just have to wait and see where things go. I'm kind of interested to see how these coaches, not just the University of Washington, but every coach in the country, kind of how they redo their recruiting philosophy and where things go.
You can always keep it tuned here at dogman.com, and we'll keep you filled in with what's going on. We go to those times where there's not a lot going on, but then all of a sudden when we're all out and about, something is always bound to happen. That's just the way it works. So just keep it tuned in right here at dogman.com. For all of us at dogman.com, I'm Kim Grinnells, along with Chris Fetters, Scott Eklund. Wear your mask. Go Dogs.
Now streaming on Paramount Plus.
You ready, Bob?
Well, all right.
Audiences are raving. Bob Marley is electrifying. It's the feel-good movie of the year.
You dig?
Bob Marley, One Love. Rated PG-13. Now streaming on Paramount Plus.